The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, and once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. I have a serious topic I want to discuss today. I have Miss Chanel Evans in studio. I am delighted to have her in studio, and she's going to tell me a story. It's not that type of story you'd be entertained about, you know, but because it's an emotional story. It's a heartbreaking story. It's a real Bahamian story that must be told. Dementia runs in Miss Evans' family. Her mother suffered from it. Her grandmother suffered from it. I think she had two aunts who suffered from it. Even have a sister who is going through that journey. She wrote a book about it. This book is not an easy book to read, even though you can enjoy the book itself, because the story is heart-wrenching. You can see yourself inside the story, and you want to reach out and assist. You want to put yourself in action and say, we need to do something. We need a support group. We need Bahamians to be concerned. Before I start my interview with Miss Evans, right? And the name of her book is The Long Nightmare. I want you to picture that. The Long Nightmare, right? I wanted to give a definition of what dementia is. And this is a journey of her entire family, because her entire family went through this nightmare. Dementia is a general term for a decline in mental abilities that is so severe enough to interfere with daily life. Common symptoms include memory loss, especially recent memories, difficulty thinking, reasoning, or solving problems, trouble with language or communication, confusion about time or place, changes in mood, behavior, or personality. Dementia is not a normal part of aging. Let me repeat that. This is normal. Dementia is not a normal part of aging. It can be caused by several diseases, the most common being Alzheimer's disease. Example, a person with dementia may forget familiar people, get lost in familiar places, or have difficulty managing everyday tasks such as cooking or paying bills. I've not had any family member who went through dementia. I can appreciate what Alzheimer is, forgetting certain things. I think my family back in the day used to say, you're doubting.
Yes.
Right? But dementia is something entirely different. Right? My wife's godmother, husband, suffered from dementia. He's an athletic man, active man, did everything. Right? He's a man's man. And as this disease progressed, he forgot how to talk. He forgot how to walk. He forgot how to take care of himself. I can't imagine forgetting how to take care of myself. And I myself, who suffer from diabetes, right? I'm realized that I have type 2. There's now something called a type 3 diabetes, which they link to dementia, said that when you have type 3, you will have dementia. Unfortunately. I am concerned. So I want to hear this story. I want to hear the story from Ms. Chanel Evans on her family members in general. I'm going to pay tribute to them. So give me a general synopsis of your family and how y'all dealt with the dementia, how you heard about dementia. What does dementia mean to your family in general?
Okay, when dementia first showed up in my family, it occurred with my grandmother. She has suffered a stroke back in the late 60s, very late 60s, early 70s. So it was about the late 60s when she suffered the stroke. And after she began to recover from the stroke, she began exhibiting signs of memory loss, confusion, and all those things. And so we attributed to the stroke. At the time, we didn't know what dementia was. At least my family, we'd never heard the word dementia. We just know that my grandmother was going through these changes, and as it progressed, she began to be irritated and more confused. She was having accidents like with the stove, because in those days, they only had the oil stove. There was an incident where there was a fire in the kitchen, and my mother decided that they were going to take the oil stove out and all of that. So she then went into providing their meals and stuff so that she could avoid a repeat of that incident. And by the time my grandmother died, she was not walking. She was not talking. We even thought that she may have lost her sight, because for a long period of time, she stopped opening her eyes. The only time she opened her eyes after maybe almost a year, maybe almost two, was the day she died. So I saw my mother suffer through that, because Mama didn't remember her. She didn't know her. She didn't know my grandfather, because there was a time to chase him out of the house. She's telling him, why are you here? If you know you're here, he's going to be upset. You know, she thought that he was a stranger in her house. So by the time she died, my mother really suffered. She was really grieving about it all. And then, you know, we felt as if, okay, that was a stroke. That is what caused that situation. But after my grandmother died, I didn't remember who it was who decided that they needed to have an autopsy done. So they did an autopsy of her brain, and the report showed that her brain had been severely disfigured.
Her brain was disfigured?
Yes, it resembled a mass of tangled wires, was what the report said. And it was the first time then, after her death, that there was this word of dementia mentioned. And then years later, my aunt began to have symptoms, but she didn't have a stroke. But she began to have symptoms of forgetting things, being confused, and all the rest of that. And it was evident that she was becoming ill like my grandmother was. But we were confused. We couldn't associate to know whether it was the same thing or not. Because again, we didn't have any information on what dementia was, not like today where we have all the definitions and all the background on it. We didn't have any of that. We just knew, okay, they were having this issue with remembering and all of that. So during the course of my aunt's illness, then the word dementia came up again, and it was said that that is what she had. But like I said, we still were not able to connect it to my grandmother, because we said, okay, my grandmother, her situation came about because she had a stroke. That's what we thought. Mm-hmm. So then my aunt died, and then my mother began exhibiting symptoms. You know, she started, well, first, before my mother started, what precipitated her illness, as it seemed, was that my father had a sudden heart attack. He died suddenly, and she went into a deep depression.
Understandable.
So she was severely depressed, and she started showing these changes, symptoms, and I began to become concerned, because they was so very similar to my aunt and my grandmother, and I began telling my siblings, I think we need to be concerned about this. So we started talking to the doctors, but the doctor kept telling us that it was just depression. She was just depressed. But as time went on, I told them, I said, this has to be more than depression. And what hit home to me, because my mother, she loved to cook. She loved to bake. You know, she was always cooking, always baking. And this evening, more than all, I came home. And by the time I came home in the evening from work, she always had dinner ready, at least either finished or almost ready. I came home, and there was nothing done. Nothing was even taken out of the fridge. So I said, Mommy, you didn't cook? So she said, cook? You know, she, like, as if the thought never occurred to her.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. I said, but don't worry. And she started to get upset. I said, well, don't worry about it, Mommy. I said, it's okay. So the following afternoon, I came home, and she tried to cook, but she had mixed up her ingredients. She was cooking a meat meal, but then she had ingredients as if she was baking cakes.
Mm.
Because she liked to bake, so but she was confusing the two, and so that said to me, something is really wrong. If you know, and she didn't, I tasted the difference, but she didn't connect that she'd done something wrong with it. And then the third day, she didn't do anything, and she never cooked again. So, but when that happened with the food, and it may seem like a simple thing, but that's one of the symptoms that they forget the things that they normally were able to do. But she. That told me that something was wrong. So I said to my sisters, we need to get the doctor to look more closely at what's happening with Mommy. So we took her again to the doctor, and then he started asking her questions. And he was looking to me for confirmation about the things he was asking her. And then he did some blood work and things. And then after that, he spoke to my brother, because everyone always went to my brother Thomas. The doctors all went to her. Did he? To him, and he went and he told him that my mother was suffering with early stage Alzheimer's. So it wasn't the news we wanted to hear. It was a relief to finally have a diagnosis, for someone to recognize that she was suffering. But the memory of what my grandmother went through, or what my aunt went through, it was heartbreaking to know that that was
wrong.
And she, in turn, suffered for a long time. She, Alzheimer's disease is more, to me, more aggressive than any other form of dementia.
But when you say suffering, allow me to appreciate what you mean that your mother went through suffering.
Okay, she lost all memory. She, like they always say about they lose their short-term memory. And so she went back into years and years before. And then after that, it was like she lost even that. Because after the doctor first diagnosed her with that, of course, we were living on Andros. I didn't have means or caregivers and all the rest of that. It was just she and I living together. So I had to decide how I was going to handle her care. So I had to leave her at home. When I went to work, but what I did, I kept in contact with her constantly through the day by telephone. And then at lunchtime, I would try to go home, make sure she has a lunch and she has her medication and all that. And then one day, I was calling. I didn't get an answer. I called and called. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. At the time, on the house phone, I was dialing the house phone and didn't get an answer. So I was just about to leave my office to go home to see what was happening with her. And then the phone rang. The secretary answered the phone, and she told me the phone was for me. Now, I thought it was a client, because I worked in my brother's law firm in Andros. I thought it was a client calling. So I said hello, and the voice on the phone said hello. She said, this me, Hazel. So that was my cousin, Hazel, who was calling. So I said, oh, hello. So she said, you know where your mother is? You know, so I paused and I said, she's home, you know, because I thought in my mind, okay, where's she going with this? So I said, she's home. So she said, no, she isn't. She said, I just saw her walking past the road. She said, and I turned her back and she went, said she was going back home. So I hung up from her and I went out to go home to see if I would find her. As I was driving along, I was looking to see whether I would see her along the road or not. But when I got home, she was home. So I asked her, I said, so Mommy, you were out? She said, no, I wasn't out. So I said, you weren't out today? She said, no, I was here all the time reading. So she didn't remember that. So, you know, I stayed there with her for a while. I went back to work, and the following day, everything was fine. She was home when I called. So I found her home. And then after that, there was another day that I got the call again. And it was my cousin Hazel, and she said, your mother walking again. So it started with that. She began walking out, and I had to eventually get someone to be at the house with her. It was a challenge finding someone, because on the island, you know, everybody has their own thing. So I had to find someone to be at the house with her to make sure she didn't wander away. And then to where we lived, it's on the top of a hill, and near to our house in our backyard was a blue hole. So my concern was that she would wander in the yard, get lost, or fall in the blue hole, or any of those things. All those things haunted me and my siblings, or haunted us, you know, and so we needed to get someone to be there with her. So we got the person to be there with her, and then she started having other difficulties. She didn't remember how to turn on the television. Thankfully, the television that we had a system where we could program it to turn on automatically. So I would turn that on, set that, and let it turn on for her when I'm not there. And then she began losing perspective on what day it was, what time of the day it was, whether it was night or day. And she was a church-going woman, strong Christian, and she always started wanting to go to church. So at any time of day and night, she was getting dressed and wanting to go out to church. So sleep became non-existent for me, because at night, I remember the first time it happened, I heard the door rattling. I was asleep, I heard the door rattling. And I got up to check and see what was happening. And she was there dressed for church. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. She was wearing two of her best hats and a couple of her. And she was dressed. She had a Bible under her arm, and she was trying to get the door open. So she's going to church. I said, Mommy, it's 2 a.m. I have to go to church. I'm going to church. I said, but Mommy, it's not time for church. You know, so I would get her settled down and try to get her changed, put her back to bed. And a few minutes, half an hour later, she was back up and dressed, getting ready to go to church. So that ritual began happening to all through the night. I'd have to be vigilant. And then I had to put extra locks on the door to make sure to reinforce the door so that she wouldn't go out if I fell asleep. If I happened to fall asleep, she wouldn't get out of the house. And so what I had, and then she wasn't sleeping at night. So what I had to do, I had to move myself where her bedroom was. The living room was next to it, and there was a sofa right next to her against the wall. And, you know, the old houses then, when they used to build one house and then they build another part of the house, mm-hmm. joining on. So there was a window in there that didn't have, you know, that just had a curtain to it. So I was able to put my arm through it. So I put her to bed in that bed, and I was sitting in the sofa at night. And I would just, and she, I heard her getting restless. I tried to put my hand through the window, and for her to feel me, I said, Mommy, I'm here. I said, you know, to keep her calm, to keep her settled through the night. So I had to do that all through the night to keep her to keep her settled. And so she just changed. She didn't remember. She began forgetting things. Like she was a person, when I was a young child growing up, she used to recite all the great poets, Wordsworth, Longfellow. She knew all their poems by memory. And after a while, she didn't know all those things. She used to make all the crochet doilies. She used to make my clothes for school and all that. She didn't remember how to do any of that. So her personality is like the disease took everything away from her. It took everything away from her. And then it got to a point where it became too difficult for me to care for her, just she and I on the island. And because she didn't take to the caregiver, that's the other thing. Because, you know, she was a woman. She didn't want people and things in her space like that. So this stranger in her house you know, not dementia, she was forgetting everything else, but there was this stranger in her house, so she didn't connect with her like that. So eventually, I had to let the caregiver go, and I had to stop working. So I was home with her, and if I needed to go to the bank or the food store, I had to find someone to take her to. I would take her to my brother. I had a younger brother there in Andhra, so I'd take her to him, leave her there, because he was married with his family. I'd take her and leave her with him, and I tried to go to do the banking, do the food store, whatever quickly I needed to do, then to take her back home. So that's how life became for us. And then she had health issues. She was a diabetic. She had diabetes for many years before dementia kicked in. So we always had to bring her up here for medical treatment. So the trips began becoming so frequent, and and the strain of looking after her by myself was really getting to me. So we worked out a way to try to get her into Nassau to be here. So we eventually brought her here, and then I went back. I found employment back with the social services. I went back to work. So we had to find a caregiver for her here in Nassau. So we had a caregiver with her. So we had those journeys of her getting adjusted to new persons. The first one she didn't take to. But what happened during that course of time, she started having, like I said, my grandmother had a stroke, and mommy had, after the dementia, Alzheimer's started, she started having little mini strokes, or what they call transient ischemic attacks, and they would affect her. Like, she would have them, and her whole body would freeze. And the first time it happened, I thought she died, you know. So, and after those attacks would have come, then, you know, she would lose more and more of her ability for anything, because she used to talk. She said, well, she couldn't hold conversations and stuff with you. Anything you ask her, she would always just recite her favorite verse of scripture, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So anytime you ask her anything, that was her response. For any of you asked how she was doing, she'd say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So that was her only response. And she'd have a Bible, a little Bible storybook that she had. She always loved that. So she would have it. I don't know whether after a while, because for a time when she was still able to read, she was getting the events in the story mixed up as if they were happening real, and she was like into happening. Why is this happening? She couldn't adjust to know that it was in scripture and not now. Then after a while, she stopped reading. So I don't know whether she was able to comprehend or retain what she was reading, but she stopped doing that even after a while.
So I want to interrupt you here and ask you, Ms. Evans, why you decided to write a book?
Because fast forward almost three decades later, we were faced with dementia again, twofold. My brother was diagnosed with it, and then some months later, my sister was diagnosed with it. My brother, he didn't have a long run with the disease. I think subconsciously knowing what happens with the disease, having seen it in our mother, our grandmother, aunts, I think he just decided that he wasn't going to let himself go through that. So he more or less willed himself, and, you know, he died shortly after. He didn't last very long with it. But my sister, who I live with, you know, she's going through it, and it was last year, after we were celebrating one of my other brother's birthday, so it was that night, and the next, they were all together at our house. Everyone was there together. And then she went to bed. And the next morning, she had the fall. We met her on the floor. She had the fall. We didn't know how she fell, what caused her to fall, but she's not walked since. So, and her condition has deteriorated to where, you know, she has no recall, you know, and all of that. So I was feeling overwhelmed that here I was again in the middle of this. And we live together, and she gravitates, like my mother gravitated to me. I was the person that she, you know, held closest to. My sister's doing the same to me. So I felt overwhelmed. And my history of my writing has always been a form of release, a form of comfort for me. So I decided that I was going to write. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to write. The other was, when my brother was in the last stages, I think it was the day before he died, I was there, and his son was there with him, and he was, you know, he was talking to me, he was, you know, talking about his dad, and he was saying, asking if this happens to everyone. So I said to him, I said, you're too young to know what happened with your grandmother. And I started to explain, you know, the history of it. And, you know, so when I started to write, I said, you know, this is for him and all the younger generations in the family so that they can know our history and the generations to come. I said, because we don't know, the pattern has been that it's repeating itself.
It seems like it's hereditary.
Well, we've asked that question. They said that there's no documented proof that it's hereditary, but then there's no documented proof that it isn't. But in our family, we see the pattern. We see it. So I wanted to write so that they would know what happened in the past, what happened to the others. If they see it again, they can, so that they can have,
identify it earlier.
Yeah, they'd be able to identify it earlier.
We have a telephone call, someone who wants to engage you, but I want to say this. This is why I wanted you to come on, because we know we have linkages that dementia is like type 3 diabetes.
Yes.
It's sugar in the brain.
Yes.
In the Caribbean, we have the highest rates of type 2 diabetes in the world.
Yes.
Right? Due to obesity, hypertension, cardiovascular diseases, right? And so people in the Bahamas is at risk. We know we have some of the highest numbers in type 2 diabetes in the world, in the Bahamas. So in several years, dementia may be an overwhelming thing that we may be dealing with in the Bahamas. And if that is true, we need to now start taking note of signs.
Yes.
Be able to have a plan on what we can do.
Yes.
If these people who have these type 2 diabetes transition to have something as like dementia. But let me get this caller to engage you, to ask you a few questions. Kermit patches caller through. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for listening and holding for a while. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. And good morning to your guests. You know, listening to this interview, it's very heart-wrenching. You know, and something comes to mind. It's a prayer that I learned that someone taught me as an activist, right? It's a simple prayer. And it says, it goes like this. It says, Father, help our children who have a long way to go. Now, Father, help our old people who have gone a long way. Now, Father, help us who are in the middle and is doing the work right now. The work that we are doing in this country is only about to be started. You know, and I'm learning, I mean, for the first time, I always thought dementia, Alzheimer's, they were all the same thing. They have different names. But I'm learning a whole lot from this interview. But I didn't see anything in the budget for situations such as this, where we build more facilities to assist parents and children who have to deal with this issue with their seniors, their loved ones. I didn't see anything in place, either through social service or what have you. But I believe that much more needs to be done to address this, because we can't miss it, you know, in terms of if we live long enough, we will get there one day. And I believe that more facilities, more funding, these are the type of things I have no issues with government spending our monies on, you know, to address these type of deficiencies that we, or shortcomings or shortfall that we see throughout our system. And I see those ones who perhaps may not have loved ones, or who may have left the home unannounced or without anyone knowing. You see senior citizens walking our streets daily. Mm-hmm. Daily. This is a daily occurrence. You know, but we don't place enough emphasis into these very important issues. You know, I just like this young lady to be encouraged as you work through this, because I know it has to be hard. You have a job, then you got to care for your loved one. It's very difficult. I think the government needs to start incentivizing, you know, persons like this, man, who have these challenges, not only with old people, but with children who have deficient disabilities, et cetera. Much more needs to be done in this area. And I hope that the new Minister of Social Services, Mr. Cartwright, will look at addressing these things much more comprehensively and don't get caught up too much on these woke agendas that waste in time. But makes very little of any sense. But that's just my take and my contribution for the day.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you this, Ms. Evans. In terms of support, what type of support you get? Not from your family. I'm thinking now, because I have elderly parents, right? And I have elderly parents who start showing signs that they're forgetting some things, right? You expect that with age, right? But in terms of a person like me who's busy all the time, right? But want to help, but I just don't have the time because I got to go and provide for them and my family. What type of support there that you found there is? Going to social services? Do you think we need more support? What can we do?
I think we do. Whether there is, when I was writing the book, I tried to reach out to social services to get some information on it. But it doesn't seem as if there is a system of support directly connected to this. I was told, I think, if I remember incorrectly, to check with Disability Affairs and ask there for information, but I didn't at that point, I didn't bother to call Disability Affairs because I felt as if there should have been something there that, you know, they gave assistance or there's some area of assistance, but it doesn't seem to be. But for us, we've not had community support. We have caregivers that we hire and we have to pay those caregivers, even with the medications. There are medications that they give specifically that help, especially with the agitation, because dementia patients, a lot of them suffer from agitation. They get aggressive. They have this symptom called sundown syndrome that affects them during the afternoon time when they get really aggressive. So there's medication for it, but the medication is very expensive, and a number of them are not on the national drug plan. The ones that the more aggressive ones are very costly and they're not a part of the national drug plan. Recently, I found out because I couldn't afford one of them, I found out that they had a generic brand for it, which was good, that I switched to the cheaper brand for it. But I asked the pharmacist and she said, no, they would both have the same effect. But I'm not finding that the generic one was as effective as the brand name one. But the brand one was $90-something for a month's supply.
My God.
So that's a lot because you're paying for the caregiver. And right now, caregiving is not cheap.
Caregivers are expensive.
They're very expensive because they're living. And they're looking, on average, the cheapest you can get them. We were fortunate to get one at the low end, but a lot of them are looking for over $100-something per day.
Per day? And that's like 5 to 6 days?
5 to 6 days. And in my case, I work at my church, so on Sundays I need to be able to go to church, so that's 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to do anything on a Saturday, then you're paying them for 7 days.
And that's a low-end price.
Yeah, we tried to find one at a low-end price. God bless her. She is a gift to us. But, you know, the cost for them when we advertise and we're trying to find out, it was really expensive. But so I didn't find that there's a stipend. If there is something, I'll be happy to hear about it, whether there's a stipend, whether there's something that can assist with it, because it's really expensive.
I have a texter who asks if your mother at any stage and your aunt and your family became aggressive.
I find that the disease also follows the pattern of personalities. My mother, at 4 o'clock, she became agitated and aggressive, but because she wanted to go home. Somewhere in her mind, she was in Nassau, but she knew that she wasn't in Andros. So at 4 o'clock, she was trying to get out of the house to go to Andros. Mm-hmm. So she was aggressive when you tried to prevent her. But once you gave her the medication, then she was settled down. So mommy, she was kind of, you know, she was able to handle her like that. My aunt was the more aggressive one, and she didn't settle as easily. But my other aunt, she was very mild. There was no incident of that. My brother was mild, but my sister, she was beginning to become aggressive. And I think in some ways, I mean, it's hard to say, it may be a blessing in that she's not moving now, because it helps us to a certain degree to deal with her condition, because she can't move about like she on her own as she did before. So that helps us to more or less control her agitation and whatnot.
We have some more callers who want to engage you. But does your book, The Long The Long Nightmare. Did you give any kind of instructions to the readers to say, well, look out for this? This can help you if you do this?
Well, I talk about what happened with my family and try to pinpoint what was happening with them. I stared away from trying to give medical advice because that's not my area, but I presented in there information for the Alzheimer's Association and for Dr. Teresa Clark, who is, I forgot the word, like a gerontologist or kind of like that. And she does also screening that help persons that they can go, they can do testing to screen to see whether they have genetic signs of the disease or have, or they may be getting the disease, because that is how I connected with her, because I heard about her program and I thought about it and I was trying to engage my family first all to do it. But you know, we made the arrangement, but at the end, only one of us had the courage to go forward and to find out whether they had any signs of it in them or any genetic traces. And to tell you the truth, we were still not even courageous enough to ask that one person what the results was. Like, we didn't want to know. If it's coming, we're just trying to do the best we can with the knowledge we have to prevent and to maintain. But we don't want to, personally, I decided that I didn't want to know and sit with that knowledge that this is coming, definitely coming to me. I'm here with the knowledge that it may come to me and trusting God to take me through it. But so that is where we were with that.
We're coming back to you, callers, so bear with us. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're here with Ms. Chanel Evans. She just wrote a book called The Long Nightmare, The Family's Journey with Dementia. She mentioned that dementia seems to be a part of a family, and even the fear that it may be hereditary. But she wrote a book that could detailing the signs, things that she went through. And this book is going to be, where can they find this book exactly?
It's available now at Logos Bookstore in Harbor Bay. From myself or online at Amazon.com.
Yes, and we give some more particulars on that. Callers, we're going to come back. Were you able to engage with Ms. Chanel Evans and talk more about her book and her how her family has been dealing with dementia, what the signs are, like she says, and the concerns that we all should be having right now in the Bahamas. We'll be right back.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
No one likes a fender bender.
Aw, man.
From a little scratch to a full mashup, NUA Insurance has got you covered with auto insurance tailored to fit your needs and budget. for affordable rates with free on-site accident assistance. Visit us online or in branch and just ask us. NUA Insurance. Ask us because we've got you covered.
And welcome back to Garden Radio AM. Let me read a couple of these texts and go straight to the call line and so they can engage you. CA, I am going through this exact same thing with my mother right now, and many other family members have dementia, diabetes, and have passed on. And I know it may sound crazy, but after careful research, I have learned many different things about the disease. Remember, they say disease is a curse in the Bible, but I have learned that parasites, which on a microscope look like demons, enter the body through food. And in the Bible, Matthew 17 to 21, say, fast and pray. That's to kill the parasites. What we need to do, this parasite cleanse and detox, and family gets, where is it? I'm looking for it. What we need to do, this parasite cleanse and detox, and the family gets it because we're living in close proximity, sharing everything. So these parasites spread. Think about it. Parasites in the brain is dementia. Parasites in the blood is diabetes. Parasites in the cells is cancer. It could come from eating many different things like pork, crabs, at the bottom feeding organism. And definitely the diet impacts diabetes, dementia. Mm-hmm. So we need to watch what we eat. Is there a connection between this and high blood pressure? Because my whole family is on high blood pressure pills, and it's scary. Any comments on that? I know you're not a doctor, but what did they say to you?
Yes. The type of dementia known as vascular dementia stems from prolonged high blood pressure and damage on the blood vessels. So research has shown, and health officials have said that vascular dementia is the most common type of dementia found in the Bahamas. And it stems from, as I said, persons with prolonged high blood pressure, those who may have had a stroke or other kinds of damage to the blood vessels leading to the brain.
Okay. So, CA, good morning. And your guest, this story, what she's telling, caused me to cry. Is this expensive for you? Like, how would paying on your paycheck? I know you might have insurance for your aunt, your mom, your grandmother, but how expensive is it when dealing with dementia?
It is very expensive because you factor in the cost of the caregiver for the week. Even if you're paying them for 5 days, that runs into a close, some cases, $600-$700.
That's the whole pension there.
Per week salary for a caregiver.
That's per week, not even per month?
No, not per
most
month.
Most people making only $600 per month on pension.
Yeah, because I guess in terms of what they have to do, because if the patient is bedridden, as in the case of my sister, they have to do everything for that patient. They have to do their meal assistance, bathing assistance, moving, turning, all of those things. So I guess the caregiver's charge in relation to that, what they have to do. So you have the caregiving aspect, that's expensive. The tools that they need to use, the gloves, the wipes, the bed pads, the undergarments, all those things are very expensive to purchase.
It's overwhelming.
You have to have those things because you have to provide them for the patient and for the caregiver to use when they're caring for the patient. So you have that. Then the medication is very expensive. Not a lot of them. The ones that are most effective or for the advanced stages of dementia, they're not covered by NHI. At least we haven't found them to be covered by National Drug Plan and all that. And in a majority of the cases, well, my research, and if there are doctors who are part of NHI, they can let me know. But the doctors who would care for the patients, they're not covered by NHI, so you have to pay for those. Insurance, if you have insurance, you pay your copay. But in terms of the medication with my sister's plan, you have the nil deductible. So for the first whatever months of the year, you have to pay that out of pocket, so you will have the cost of the medication added to the tools and the caregiver. And of course, the patient needs to eat. You have to try to tailor their diet, so you have to make sure you have the right kinds of foods. And we all know the cost of food in this country is increasing.
Let's go to some of the callers, right? There's a concern the Minister of Health mentioned about siblings, or not siblings, children abandoning their parents at the hospital. And I'm hearing that you can't afford to even have them home because you can't afford the medication, can't afford the care taken. And then you get this, solving this issue by having them at the hospital to get basic care. I can understand now. I can appreciate. Anyway, let's go to the callers. I'm just like lost for words. Go ahead, caller. We're talking to Miss Chanel Evans, and she's talking about her journey with dementia being in her family. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. How are you both?
Doing well.
Yes, I am. I'm really impressed by you, Mrs. Evans. I am impressed by your resilience. And it appears, when I listen to you, that the situation is more, I'm only saying, but I'm not sure, a maternal situation, because I don't know if it's your maternal grandmother, your mother's mother, who exhibits the, you know, some symptoms first, and then your brother and your sisters. Is it anybody, I'm only asking, on your dad's side, like your dad's mother or whatever?
My father's parents died before I was born, but their ailments were more in the area of the heart and kidney failure. So that's on my father's side, because my father himself died from heart failure.
Okay.
So the dementia has not been seen on my father's side. So you're correct. It's on the maternal side, my mother's side. Now, the thing is, I always, in my book, I say that it began with my grandmother, but that's as far as we know. We don't know whether, how far it extended in her family line, because my grandmother came to Andros as a very young girl from Cat Island. It was just her and her mother and her two sisters. Both her sisters, they, one died from a stroke, I think the other caught pneumonia and she died. So they didn't live to develop dementia like she did. And I don't know anything about her grandmother, about her mother, because of course she would have been gone a long time before me, and I haven't heard anyone. So I don't know whether her mother, where it stemmed from, where they came from, her on her mother's side or her father's, it came from my mother's side on the maternal side.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. Yes. I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate you telling us about this, this story. And like I said before, I appreciate your resilience.
Thank you.
And at Alzheimer's is a progressive disease, irreversible brain disorder that slowly destroys memories and thinking abilities. And it the Alzheimer's accounts for 60-70% of dementia cases.
Yes.
And it is caused by an abnormal brain protein.
Yes.
Buildup.
A plaque buildup on the brain.
Yeah, the amyloid plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then you mentioned how, you notice this tangle situation that damages.
Yes.
And kills brain cells. And so when this plaque buildup and causes this this Alzheimer's, this is, it can result in a form of dementia, while because dementia is an umbrella term for decline in mental abilities and severe enough to interfere with daily lives, affecting memory, communication, reasoning. It is not a single disease.
No, it is
not. But rather, it's a symptom. You got it. Go ahead. You want to tell me some more?
No, I'm listening. Go ahead. I'm agreeing with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It is a syndrome caused by underlying brain changes such as those from Alzheimer's disease, or, as we mentioned before, with the hypertensive cases, the vascular issues.
Thank you very much, caller. Let me see if I can engage some more, because we have like 5 minutes. I'm going to speed up everything in turn of response. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM, you're live. That's Mr. Evans you're speaking to. Caller, are you there? Let's move to the next one. Guiding Radio AM, you're live. Caller, I can hear you. No? Guiding Radio AM, you're live.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nui. Wonderful guest. I love her disclosures. I just learned something just now also, because my grandma had a stroke at the age of 96, and she, I guess, was vascular, but it wasn't hereditary. But I just like to remind her that, my heart goes with her. And a quick human story. I had a friend of mine just walking the shop a few days ago in tears. Her mom fell and had a hip fractured or whatever, and she, you know, she has dementia, so she's unable to care. She's just overwhelmed with just how one taking care. She has one sibling left, and she was just saying how the burden is on her to do this. And so I just wanted to congratulate her. I went through the same problem with my mom, but not dementia, with the colon cancer thing. But the text who texted about the parasites, it's really it's something called the microglia, and the lady calls up with the amyloid plaque. And the guy who juxtaposed fasting, the reason for that is it kicks in autophagy, and then the microglia actually the microglia actually cleans the plaque, and so this is why fasting is much important and diet plays a role. And so I just wanted to share that, you know, you're running an industry, I wish I could put out more input, but it's really the lifestyle, the genetics pulls the trigger. No, the lifestyle loads the gun, and your diet pulls the trigger. So just bear that in mind.
Thanks very much. Just confirming that your book is called The Long Nightmare, My Family's Journey with Dementia by Ms. J. Chanel Evans. It's located, can be purchased at
Logos Bookstore in Harbor Bay.
What's the price at Logos Bookstore?
$30.
$30 is the price. Yeah. And where else can I purchase the book?
They can contact me from me online at Amazon.com.
So you can inbox you online, or do you have a phone number, or how do you get in contact with you, buy it from you directly?
They can inbox me on Facebook. My Facebook account is Joan Chanel Evans. Or they can WhatsApp me at, I can give the number.
Go ahead.
376-4964.
Say it one more time.
376-4964.
I have this text that said, what is your mother's name from Cat Island? You want to know how your Cat Island relations?
My grandmother was Rebecca Colmer. She was a Colmer. I'm not sure her father was from Eleuthera, but her mother was from Cat Island, and my grandmother was born in Cat Island. She was a Colmer. She was related to the Thurstons and to the Wilsons.
Okay, this text said, it's extremely expensive from the medicine to the caregiver, which could be over $2,000 a month, to the products needed, like the pens, $50 a pack, bedpans, wipes, cleaning products, and handicap equipment. The government really needs to lower customs on these things. I know recently the government lowered the work permit for caregivers, and we know behemoths charge a lot, so yes. We may have to import more efficient in terms of price for care. I appreciate that, and especially with diabetes being increasing in a severe ailment in the Bahamas, and moving from diabetes now dementia, we may need to invest more in quality service for that. What would you want to recommend to the Bahamians who are listening, who are going, they have parents of family who are going to dementia? I'm not sure if there's an association that they can go to and speak to about how they really need help and they feel overwhelmed.
Yes, there's the Alzheimer's Association. When I had the book launch, we had Mr. Wentz Martin, who was there giving information about what the association does. Wendy Poitier, I think, is one of the directors. So if they have contact, they can reach out to either of those persons, Wentz Martin and Wendy Poitier, for the Alzheimer's Association in the Bahamas. And they're a few WhatsApp groups that they have established that I'm a part of. And in those groups, you can get support. You get an information person be asking, do you know about, I need someone to care for my mother, or they asking, where can I find this? So they share information. And so it's a great support. It's a great wealth of knowledge. And every first Tuesday in the month, they have a Zoom meeting that talks about different aspects of dementia. So they're educating persons. So if you someone who is suffering with it, or you have a loved one who's suffering with it, connect with those persons and try to get a part of that group so you can get information and support. And there are doctors in that group who specifically care for persons so they can connect with them and get information as well.
And thank you very much, J. Chanel Evans. Her book is The Long Nightmare. It can be located and purchased at Logos Bookstore. It's a family's journey with dementia, and she goes in detail about what her family has been going through. She gives some signs, gives some advice on what behemoths can go through or to be dealing with. And we appreciate you for coming on. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you very much for joining me again, Ms. Evans.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.